Rivian Automotive was recently certified by the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council as having met requirements for ongoing tax breaks, and taxing bodies are in the process of approving continuing tax abatements. The certification means the electric auto manufacturer located at the former Mitsubishi plant invested $500,000. Year two requirements mean a $10 million investment into the plant and the hiring of at least 35 people. Rivian has announced plans to release an SUV and a truck in 2020. They've also released the names of their management team. But beyond that, the electric auto maker still has the vibe that has people asking, what's going on behind the curtain? Rivian Automotive CEO RJ Scaringe traveled through Normal late last week and stopped by the GLT studios. He says the plant is being readied for vehicle assembly and the vehicles are being tested.
Development's progressing very nicely. The team has grown quite a bit in terms of our development organization. A lot of work on our battery system and a lot of our connected systems, all the technology to connect the vehicle so we can monitor its health, monitor its state of charge. All of this has been built and is currently testing as we speak.
And not all of that is happening in Bloomington Normal. You have facilities across the country.
So we have three development facilities. We have a development facility in Michigan where we house a lot of our vehicle-related pieces. So think chassis, body, interior, vehicle packaging, vehicle design. Then on the West Coast, we have two development locations, one in San Jose in the Bay Area. And there we house our connected car and cloud activities, as well as our self-driving activities. And then in Southern California, in Irvine, we have all of our battery development activities.
Let's listen to part of a promotional video that Rivian tweeted out on January 7th.
We are a passionate team developing intelligent vehicles for life's adventures, large or small. In 2020, Rivian will introduce two premium electric adventure vehicles on the same all-wheel drive platform, a 5-passenger pickup, followed by a 7-passenger SUV. Soon after, we will launch new options for how you drive, own, and maintain your vehicle, and transform how you experience and explore the world. Fully connected, highly refined, incredibly capable. Rivian.
And that's audio from a Rivian promotional video. What is an electric adventure vehicle?
So when you start to think about really the future of mobility and what's going to happen to the world's miles and how we consume those miles, what we believe will occur is those miles will start to split into different vehicle segments where, as a consumer, you'll have the option to pick very commoditized options, things that simply take you from A to B. And you'll also have, you know, choices that are more aspirational or desirable, and they'll take you, let's say, on your daily commute, on your trip to the lake with the family, trip skiing, your trip to the beach. And as a brand, we're developing products that really can take you, your family, your loved ones to the places you love, whether that's the lakeside, whether that's grandma's house, whether it's the side of a mountain. Or whether it's the more everyday adventure, you know, the trip to IKEA. So these are vehicles that are designed and the services to support those and the customer models around those to really embrace life's adventures.
Sure. From your website, it says to get you to the mountain and back on a single charge, that safely cross streams with your whole family, that carry enough gear for any trip and let you enjoy the wilderness in silence. What's happening in Normal and Michigan to deliver on that point? It sounds like a tall order.
Yeah, so here in Normal, we've got a huge amount of work happening at the plant. From looking at the outside in from the street, to the outside of the facility hasn't changed, but on the inside, we're in the process of getting the facility set up to build our vehicles and build our platform. So what that entails right now is a lot of work going through, looking at the various aspects of the facility, understanding how that fits into our production plan and into our production process, and starting to make some of those changes. So we're reworking the body shop portion of the plant, we're reworking the assembly portion of the plant, and really over the course of the next year, that'll start to come together in terms of a lot of those changes.
And how many people about are employed at the former Mitsubishi plant, current Rivian production facility?
Sure. So end of 2017, we had about 35 people. We're now up to about 40 people at the plant. And at this point, obviously not producing vehicles, but getting the plant ready. So then more broadly than that, outside of here in Normal, we have a total of close to 300 employees now, and we continue to grow.
Here's what you had to say to GLT in late 2016 about the vehicles we might see soon.
There's a portfolio of related vehicles that come out
in the, again, as I said, we'll be launching the production in 19 and sales will be going in early 2020. It is a large format vehicle, so it's not a small vehicle. This is something that's designed to really enable active lifestyles. So if you're into hiking, you're into biking, if you're a Home Depot weekend warrior, this is a really ideal vehicle for you.
Home Depot instead of IKEA. This in 2016 was the example that you used. That's RJ Scaringe from a 2016 Sound Ideas interview. I'm Mike McCurdy with the Rivian CEO. I think people are really eager to see these vehicles. When will they see a photo? When will they be able to touch one or set in a Rivian vehicle or maybe test drive one?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we're as we come into 2020 with our commercial launch and these vehicles being available and these services being available for consumption. We'll be starting to show a lot more. And later this year, we'll be revealing some of the details around the way the vehicle looks, the performance specifications. You'll get to see these vehicles driving, but that's going to be very late this year. Of course, at this point, we've got prototypes and various types of development properties being tested, looking at all the major systems. So obviously, the battery system needs to be really well developed and refined, all the connectivity platforms embedded on the vehicle. The self-driving aspects of the vehicle are being tested across these different development locations we have between Michigan and our two California locations.
Will self-driving capabilities be part of the initial vehicle launch, or will that be something that comes later?
Oh, certainly. So think of, you spend a day at the lake or a day at the beach with the family. You hop back in the car. You want to talk to your family. You want to check your phone. The ability to take your hands off the wheel, eyes off the road, we think is an important brand-defining experience. And then over time, those self-driving capabilities will expand and grow. And as those self-driving capabilities expand and grow and take the vehicle into a domain where it can operate without anyone in the vehicle, it really allows us to shift how you think about consuming that vehicle. So it moves from something that you may personally own to something that you may subscribe to, something you may fractionally own, something may you use just as a service. Think of it as, your adventure for the weekend, we can pick you up. So these are what we're building into our technology roadmap and the vehicle platforms designed for all those activities.
So in 2021, I might be able to buy a Rivian vehicle that will drive me. I won't drive it.
Yeah. And for that matter, shortly thereafter, as we start to think about how you would consume a Rivian, at launch in 2020, you'd be buying the Rivian. Very soon, we'd want to offer you options where you can consume it in other ways.
So
you can
subscribe to it.
It can provide you a service. You can fractionally own it. So there's a whole host of new consumption models that we're building into our business model.
I'm interested in the modular nature of the truck and its adaptability, which we reported on in January, and wonder if the SUV will have those similar modular capabilities.
One of the things we spend a lot of time thinking about as a company is designing a vehicle and a set of services around that vehicle that are very aspirational, something that you really enjoy, something that feels special, but at the same time doesn't make you uncomfortable using it. And the analogy we often think of is if you look at two nice pieces of clothing, let's say one's a Hugo Boss suit and the other's a Patagonia jacket, we really want to orient ourselves towards that Patagonia jacket in the sense that this needs to be something that you enjoy, provides a great, is a great product, but at the same time, you can use it. You can get dirty. You can go places. You can put your things in it. So what we would call is being very invitational for life's adventures is something we're embedding into it. So as part of that, different degrees of modularity throughout the vehicle become very important.
Rivian tweeted out a photo from Corona, California on February 8th about some field research. It looks like, it looked like a photograph taken from behind the windshield of one of your vehicles. What was going on there?
So we have a...
testing the batteries on remote stretches?
So that's actually not far from our Irvine location, very close to our Irvine location. So we have a lot of testing activity happening out there, and that was one of our testing teams. Not from our vehicle, though, from a benchmark vehicle.
Can you talk a little bit about the strategy of releasing a truck first and going after that that active lifestyle market? That's something that you don't see other electric auto manufacturers doing.
Sure. So if you zoom out and you start to think about mobility, and I talked about this a little bit a moment ago, and perhaps the best way to start this discussion or to start thinking about this is to think of it in terms of miles. And on our planet today, on a per-year basis, we drive about 10 trillion miles, which is a staggering number. And to deliver those 10 trillion miles, we need roughly 1 billion cars. And what we see happening, not like a light switch, but on a continuum over the coming decades, is those miles beginning to bifurcate into things that are purely commoditized. Think of it as sort of a pod to take you from point A to point B. And these will really service as short duration unplanned trips. And then things that are more aspirational, things that, you know, deliver something that's branded, something that's desirable. And this is your daily commute. You know, it's regular, repeatable. This is your trip from, you know, from Chicago to Detroit, from New York to Boston. And it's within that aspirational domain that, that our brand is focused. We're developing technologies, of course, that span the whole spectrum. But within that, as we think about that experience, we want to create something that, from an aspirational point of view, really can define the idea of exploring, the idea of going and seeing new things. And when you look at the segments to do that with, the pickup space is, you know, when you hear that, it's a very ripe space. It's a space for which inherently it has some advantages for carrying life's gear, your family, your belongings, your things. But it's compromised in that these are vehicles today that are, you know, not very efficient. They're not particularly fun to drive. They don't have lockable storage in terms of trunk space. So as a brand, this first product, we see an opportunity to really rethink and reimagine a space. And there's features and characteristics on that launch vehicle which really help connect us with the idea of exploring and going places and adventure. And that brand promise has to transcend all the changes we're going to see over the next 20, 30, 40 years. So the shift away from steering wheels, the shift away from traditional ownership. And so the first product is really our handshake with the world to say, you know, we're a brand that's here to help you engage with life's adventures. And as we move into mobility models where you don't have to own the asset, that brand becomes really powerful because then you, someone that may not own a Rivian, can still use it for your adventure, still use it for your commute, still use it to take the family out to lunch.
Obviously much more than a marketing decision to go after that segment of the market, though.
Yeah.
Obviously, based on your description. At this point, the vehicle is being marketed as an adventure vehicle. What about support? Being in the middle of nowhere with mechanical or battery issues might present some anxiety for a potential buyer. Is there some sort of support mechanism that you're thinking about? Maybe mechanism isn't the right word. Support infrastructure or people behind the scenes
Understood.
That can help. Yeah.
Yeah. So first, just as a comment, these are vehicles that have a large battery pack. So they do have significant levels of range. So they're able to, as we said, they can get you on your adventure and back on a single charge. But with that, they're also embedded in them a deep digital architecture that connects with the cloud. And for us, the way we developed the vehicles, we really started with the cloud first, and we created essentially a mirrored data layer where everything that's happening on the vehicle is also mirrored into the cloud. And it allows us to provide think of it as a safety net, so that as the vehicles are out, if there's any issue on the vehicle, we can provide support. This becomes increasingly important as you move away from a world of ownership and towards a world of various forms of subscription or sharing or multi-user utilization.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy in the studio with Rivian Automotive CEO RJ Scaringe. Ford announced just recently they're partnering with a pizza maker for food delivery in an autonomous vehicle in Miami, Florida. Any source of concern there for you about that?
No, I think as we look at the space, again, drawing us back to the market for miles, there's 10 trillion miles on our planet. That's going to continue to grow. We see a wonderful opportunity as the world, you know, first step electrifies, but then as we move into these new consumption models to create unique branded experiences under our Rivian brand. But then we also see opportunities to leverage our technology. And as I think we talked a little bit before, there's multiple opportunities to take that technology and use that in other applications as well. So, you know, when you start to look at some of the sort of call it B2B, business to business, or more logistics types operations, these are avenues for some of our battery technology to be applied as well.
Is Rivian in this for the long haul, or is the technology and the company and the things you're developing might, you know, that might make the company look attractive to an outside buyer?
No, we're not. We're not designing the strategy of the business to be bought. So we're designing this to create an incredible set of products and an incredible set of technologies that really get customers excited and provide something that's unique in the marketplace.
Some of those products will be manufactured here in Bloomington Normal. Here's what you said at the end of 2016 regarding the Rivian plant and spinning up for vehicle production.
At the plant side, there's a whole host of planning activities that are going to occur over the next year. So mapping out how this vehicle goes into the plant, what changes need to be made to the facility, what portions of the facility we're able to reuse, what portions of the facility we need to replace. And over the course of the next 2 years, we'll be ramping up with implementing those plans. So replacing equipment, improving certain aspects of the facility.
You've touched on this. What kind of progress are you making at the plant to make sure production starts when you want it to start?
Sure. So yeah, I talked a little bit before about some of the hiring we've done at the plant. So we're now up to approximately 40 people at the plant. And what we're doing is we're going through and taking some of the equipment out that's unnecessary for our process, preparing the plant to be, you know, to have new equipment, replacing that older equipment, and then also taking some of the existing equipment and getting it operational. So this is everything from running different portions of the plant to working through cooling systems, working through the control systems. So a plant of this size, and I referenced this before, takes a considerable amount of time to get the whole thing running. It's a very large orchestra of controls, equipment, and machines.
You were enthusiastic about the plant when we talked last because of the sheer amount of room. Will suppliers actually occupy some of the space of the plant?
It's a great question. So we are working actively with a number of different potential partners to come in and operate as in-plant suppliers and in-plant partners to us and for us. We don't have any announcements to make today, but we hope to have some exciting announcements in that over the course of the next year.
And we also talked about battery module and pack assembly. Yeah. What about that? Also planned in-house at the former Mitsubishi plant?
Yeah, so we're building and we've designed an outstanding battery module, battery management system, and pack design, and those will be built here in Normal in the plant.
Have you released the range of those batteries yet? We're talking about an adventure vehicle that's going to go out into the boonies and back. What range are we talking about?
So we have several different battery sizes. Of course, the larger packs being more expensive, but the largest pack, we're looking at over 400 miles in range.
That's Rivian Automotive CEO RJ Scaringe. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is Sound Ideas. How will people actually purchase a Rivian pickup or an SUV?
So to start, we're setting up a distribution channel that allows us direct access to customers. And with that direct channel, you'd be able to buy it, of course, through online mechanisms, but also by going into one of our retail locations. Now, of course,
is a retail location the same thing as a dealership?
Except to be a direct model, meaning we would own and operate those retail locations.
And would I buy one off the floor or actually order one? Or unknown at this point.
You'd order one. Those retail locations won't be carrying a lot of inventory by design. And our rollout plan has us launching in a number of markets up and down the West Coast and up and down the East Coast, but eventually moving into a whole host of markets throughout the country, and then, of course, globally as well.
Chicago area eventually?
Yeah, for sure.
In 2016, you said you viewed the tax abatement and the benchmarks you had to meet to continue to get those abatements as floors, mm-hmm. And that you were working to exceed those in terms of investment and employment levels. Is Rivian on target to meet the $10 million 35 employee level in 2018? You already mentioned you've exceeded the 35 employees.
On the employment, we've already exceeded the 2018 requirements. And on the investment, we're confident we'll well exceed that.
And again, something else we talked about in late 2016 was the UAW. As you ramp up for production, will the UAW, formerly associated with Mitsubishi, be part of this picture? Or are you just using their workforce? And is there any, have you heard anything about efforts to unionize?
So we're not engaged in those discussions, and we haven't begun the process of putting together a workforce plan in detail for when we're operating in production.
Okay. RJ Scaringe, CEO of Rivian Automotive, thanks for your time on Sound Ideas.
Thank you.
Scaringe says both the SUV and pickup have been named, but those names have not been made public.